Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag WAW. What a week.
Hey, Ta. Welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. And indeed, what a week. This week, fresh money with African Bank, Audacity to Believe. And our celebrity interview this week, a young man who, like water, goes with the flow. But you'll see later on in the show. Yes, sometimes I rhyme. When it's time. Wow, what a week.
What a week.
Wow! Wow, What a Week presents Fresh Money. Proudly brought to you by African Bank.
Audacity to believe.
Hi, welcome to Fresh Money on Wow What a Week, brought to you by African Bank, Audacity to Believe. Our guest today, Lerato Kobeni, often mistaken for Karabo. First things first, Lerato, welcome.
Thank you.
So, who are you and what do you do at African Bank?
All right, so, my name is Lerato Kobeni, right?
Yeah.
I work at African Bank.
Okay.
I've actually been with the bank since 2017.
Okay.
Right? I joined in as an intern,
but
I had to grow my way up.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then, you know, lucky enough with my work and hard work at the bank, and then took me permanent. When I started at African Bank, right, yes, I joined as an intern for business analysis.
Okay.
And then they actually took me permanent. I was working for the branch team, you know, just analyzing their processes.
Okay.
But in that process as well, I actually just moved from one department to another. I think that's one way as well to just grow within a bank.
Yes.
So from the branch department, I then moved to what we call Omni back in the time.
Mm-hmm.
Omni is actually, you know, the when the bank transitioned to then, you know, offer transactional accounts.
Okay.
So that when Omni was formed, because you know we've got a history of being a lending bank.
Oh, yes.
But we had that transition and then became now also offering transactional accounts. So we moved to Omni team, and then with Omni team still did the same work.
Yeah.
Where we actually now look into the whole end-to-end processes for when the customer comes in to open an account until that account is successfully opened.
Sure.
So that is all me. Then 2019, I actually moved to the digital space.
Yes.
Cool, fun. We're keeping up with the new technology.
Absolutely.
So it's been, you know, a great journey as well within the digital space.
What would you say your biggest learning has been starting as an intern in business analyst to where you are now at head office?
Yes.
In the digital arm of the bank, of the bank.
All right. So I know some people take what I'm going to say lightly, but honestly, hard work really do pay, right?
Yeah.
It's hard work. And also, I think I did say earlier on, I'm a hugger.
Yes.
So I created, you know, the relationship stakeholders as well within the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to know who's the who's who.
Absolutely.
And when you need help or, you know, you want certain information, you can actually reach out. People advise you.
Sure.
And then now you're not stuck. You can actually, you know, get someone who is the subject, you know, matter expert to help you. And then you get your work done quickly because we are moving in a, you know, fast-paced environment as well. So you need to get things done right and also quickly. So for me, hard work and just creating those stakeholder relationships, trust me, they do come in handy.
I would say not only should you be a hard worker, you should be consistent at all the good things that you do.
Yes.
Because that consistency is what's going to carry you on the days that you don't want to be at work.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that the discipline that consistency needs, I feel, yeah, it carries a lot of us in our careers.
It really does. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Being consistent as well here.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about another woman.
Yes.
Who is Karabo?
All right. So Karabo was actually, you know, developed in 2019, right? We had, back then, Karabo was actually just a bot. We called, at the time, we called our chatbot AB from African Bank. Right? So with the time, the bank also has evolved and then also just embracing our Africanness, right? We then changed AB to Karabo, which then means answer. And Karabo is actually derived from Sesotho, Setswana, right? Yeah. So Karabo is actually now just our, now we've changed it. Now Karabo is a newly revamped, you know, virtual assistant that actually just assists our customers. You know, they don't actually have to call us or visit the branch. They can go to our website.
Yeah.
Karabo is actually accessible there. It's a moving avatar now. So we had to put in, you know, some moves to attract or, you know, make Karabo eye catchy.
And relatable. Like and relatable.
Yes.
She looks like Sister right next door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What would you say Karabo's key functions are?
All right. So Karabo, you know, as it is now, is there to service our customers, like I said earlier on, just not for them to call us or visit the branch, but they can go to the website, access Karabo to then chat with us. So as it is, Karabo offer 5 functionalities.
Okay.
So one is actually just to chat with Karabo. Karabo does provide a product related information and also some guidance as well. So it's more of a Q&A.
Okay.
Then the other one is you can actually speak to our agent. So through Karabo, yes, we've got the chat to an agent as well, which then our agents can chat with our customers in real time for queries or, you know, or well, I'll use queries that, you know, our customers might have that, you know, the bot itself can't actually respond to it. Or if, you know, customers have, I'd say more, you know, the term would be, you know, like,
more specific
queries.
Sure.
So you can chat to our agents for that. Then we've got also on-screen assist. On-screen assist is to help our customers, you know, to adopt to our digital platforms.
Okay.
So with on-screen is really screen sharing. So you can call in our call center or chat as well with Karabo and ask to share your screen so that our lovely consultants then can help the customer navigate through our digital platforms, be it app or website itself or, you know, our online banking.
Sure.
Then the last two is apply online. So with apply online, customers can also go into the website and chat with Karabo. And, you know, we've got the apply online option, which enables our customers based on their product related information. They can select which product they want.
Okay.
Right. So that is, sorry, that is actually for the call me back one. You select the product that you want, capture a few fields, and then our agents will call you back to help you, be it, you know,
with a specific query that you have.
Yes. Okay. So it's that, but also to actually open an account if you do want to open an account.
Oh, yes.
You know, so our call me back, it's actually for that, you know, servicing part of it. Then the apply online is really a quick way for our customers to get an offer. So with it as well, you capture a few fields and then we can give you an offer. So this is also to entice our customers, you know, to see how much they might qualify for. Then they can do the normal application process once, you know, they're happy with the offer.
So why is Karabo important?
All right. So Karabo, for now, you know, in the bank is really important to just service our customers virtually. Mm-hmm. We are in the process. We as the bank are transforming, you know, also just keeping up with the new technologies that are out there to make one, I'd say, yes, to be in par with what's there and available, but also just to optimize, you know, processes and operations internally and be accessible to our customers.
Sure.
You know, we are always on our phones, and if you need help or you've got a query somewhere, we are actually, you know, at reach at the palm of your hand in a way, if I can put it so.
What future enhancements would you say we can look forward to within Karabo and her services?
All right. So there is a feature enhancement. Karabo is actually growing as well. You know, with...
You almost grew up here.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. So, you know, we live in a time where technology is, you know, advancing on a daily basis. So we need also, you know, to just keep up with times and also advance our technology. So there is, you know, artificial intelligence that also we can bring into Karabo so that we can actually now not only offer or make Karabo a channel that customers can only look into doing their, you know, pre-login where you are, you know, before you are authenticated, but we can also bring in functionality where we can actually, you know, authenticate you and do sort of queries that are more now available as well on post-login once you are authenticated. And now, you know, you also as a customer, you feel comfortable that you are now in a secure chat.
Absolutely. How would you say the response has been to Karabo? Are people keen to engage with her, and are people getting the help that they need?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Karabo, like I said, when it started in 2019 and then evolved now to what we have, it has shown a, you know, a significant growth as well. For instance, even, you know, within the bank now, we getting approached from the different, you know, departments. They want to make use of Karabo, be it, you know, in our human resource, you know, department. They want to integrate with Karabo, you know, to sort of offer internal services for us. For instance, if I want to apply for a leave and all of that, I can do it quickly. I don't have to, you know, log in to, or our customers as well. The team or the bank as it is really pushing for, you know, keeping up with par and, you know, exploring and using the new technology that is available out there.
So girl is in demand.
Girl is in demand, if I can put it so.
Yeah.
I know. She's definitely in demand.
Now, before we let you go, anything else you'd like to share with us in closing?
All right. So, Karabo as it is right now is part of the initiatives that we are working on as a bank to actually transform the bank and not just run the bank, so that we can actually, you know, like I said, optimize operations and also improve customer experience.
Sure.
So as part of Karabo, Karabo has siblings that we also working on.
In fact, can Karabo's Gogo also get involved? Because our Gogo, we know, can take one rand and stretch it more than anyone else.
Yes.
So Karabo's Gogo needs to actually come to the party, please.
I'll bring in Karabo's Gogo as well. Yeah, no, we've got interesting features that are actually that we're working on, and some of them, you know, are already live and available to our customers out there. Karabo's siblings would be a private chat. This one is more on a of a secured chat channel.
Oh, yes.
Also integrated to our lovely consultants, and then customers can just chat with them with quite sensitive information and all of that.
Absolutely. Because
Karabo right now, like I said, there's no authentication or processes in place for now, but that comes with the future enhancements that we want to bring.
So my free suggestion to you guys can use it for free, mm-hmm. is introduce GoGo in August for Savings Month. Because that will GoGo about saving.
About savings, exactly. Yes.
So that if you want to interact with African Bank and learn about saving, then this Karabo's GoGo is available.
No.
You can have the idea for free. You're welcome.
No, thank you for that. You touched on something as well, right? Mm. We are in a process, right, as well, just to also make sure that we meet the different target audiences.
Yes.
So we do have something for our GoGos as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, can't share for now,
okay.
until, you know.
But we must watch the space, basically.
Yes, please do watch the space. We've got features and cool and fun features, you know, to accommodate the different segments, be a youth or, you know, career starter, a GoGo, or the Gen Z's and,
stuff.
We've got cool stuff coming up.
Well, Lotto, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for sharing with us, and keep climbing that ladder.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you at the top of the African bank tree.
Yes, that is the goal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fresh Money on Wow What a Week, brought to you by African Bank, Audacity to Believe. Lerato Kobeni, business analyst at the digital channel at African Bank. That is the correct title, right?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lerato Kobeni is about to leave the building. We'll be back with another installment of Fresh Money on Wow What a Week, brought to you by African Bank. Audacity to believe.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Wow, what a dude. Bruce Lee said, "Be like water, my friend. When you put it in a bottle, it becomes the bottle. When you put it through a crack." Okay, let me start again. Sorry, because I'm freestyling this.
That was good, though.
Okay. Eita, welcome to another episode of Wow, What a Week. Wow, what a dude. I've been a fan of this dude like for the longest time. Since he started, I'm still a fan, and I'm glad he's finally in the ring. Bruce Lee said, "Be like water, my friend. When you put it in a bottle, it becomes the bottle. If you put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. This man becomes whatever the challenge requires him to become." Please make some noise for thespian, producer, and just all-round kick-ass guy, Thabo Rametsi, like water, is in the building.
What up, big dog?
My dude.
What up, big dog? I'm gonna take that intro, and I'm just gonna just cut it and just use it as my calling card. That was awesome.
In fact, wherever you go, they must just play that.
Now, that's exactly what I'm gonna do.
Yes,
now.
Sir.
Thank you. That's such an honor to be here. I'm to say I'm a massive fan is an understatement.
Yes, sir.
You carried me through school, through a lot of parts of my life in the morning. Your voice and your intellect. I love intellectuals.
Yes, sir.
I like controversial intellectuals as well. Rock and rollers.
The pressure. Okay, so yeah. you were one of our listeners on Unrestricted on YFM, basically.
Yeah, very big.
You know, I meet so many, I'll say kids, because they were kids then, that listen to that breakfast show that are now kicking butt in their respective careers.
Yeah.
Some are captains of industry. And I love the fact that all of them take time to say, "You took us through a period that we didn't think we'd get through."
I think you need to understand something. We came from an era that so you didn't sound like that. You and Tato at that time, and even through your 5FM career, just the same ethos.
Yes, sir.
You spoke things that were in the youth consciousness,
yes,
but weren't popular to speak about.
Ah, yes.
I think a close moment to that, which is one of the greatest moments in musical history, is when Arthur Mofokate said the lines, "Hey, bus, don't call me a K-word." For me, your voice was similar to that moment. When Arthur said that, it was like, whoa.
Yes.
We can say that.
Absolutely.
That's when we knew the country had changed. But similarly with you, with that youth voice, radio was so PC at the time. To have fresh young voices deliberating big things, challenging our minds, made us think all of this is possible. So that's why we entered the world fearlessly. We woke up with fearless voices.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you very much. I call it the Eminem approach to radio. where you must say what people are probably thinking but are afraid to vocalize. Oh. If you can find that sweet spot, you'll find fans and listeners for life.
100%.
Because often they look back and say, I wanted to say that, I was thinking that. Or you said something my husband needed to hear, but I was afraid to tell him.
I think that's where podcasting sort of got its voice, where I think radio, strangely enough, got more sanitized after your guys' period.
You know why? Because we're now living in a PC era where you're not allowed to upset people. You're not allowed to challenge people. Where if you think differently, you are the Antichrist. Where if you genuinely believe the earth is flat, I don't think we should shut you up.
No, I agree with you.
Every opinion should be given a place under the sun and allow people to decide which opinion resonates with them.
Yeah.
But instead, we want to shut people up.
So that's why I think, and I'm not saying they're losing listenership or whatever, I still think they have a good listenership.
Yeah.
I think that's why the podcasting space, and I'm so happy to be on this kind of, I've had a radio interview with you and it had to be so, okay, answer this.
And I know.
Meanwhile, here I am sitting across my icon wanting to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not the platform for that. So I'm so happy that you're able to do both. And
In fact, a radio interview, I'm sure there was a moment you wanted to actually maybe throw an F-bomb and you couldn't even do that.
Which is the truth, because I swear, I don't think people know. Me, I swear. You know? So yeah, definitely.
So are you like a born in KZN African Jack Sparrow?
Yeah.
Like pirate through and through.
You know, I'm like, I don't want to say this. Like, I think people have an interpretation of me because of some of the work I've done.
Yes, sir.
So they expect this. I don't know why. It's very confusing.
They expect a comrade almost.
You know, and then they also expect like, you know, so like, you know, like someone, I'm not that.
Dude. They don't know that you're from the street, dog.
And so sometimes they see me, like maybe I'll smoke a joint or whatever. They're like,
Yes.
And I'm just like,
what would Kalushi do?
Heaven now, you know. So yeah, and but I'm like, I'm a big fan of yourself. What Gareth Cliff, whatever.
Yes, sir.
I just like guys with a bit of a middle finger. Like, I love what you said about the Eminem approach to radio.
Yeah.
The reason why Eminem is the number one selling rapper in the world is that he said things that none of us are comfortable hearing, but have inside of us. And I think we live in a country, South Africa, which is pseudo conservative.
No, we generally are very, very conservative.
Pseudo conservative.
When it suits us.
Exactly.
That's why the pseudo. When it suits us, we're conservative.
Exactly.
When it suits us, we must quote culture.
Exactly.
When it suits us, we must quote the Bible. But we treat culture and the Bible like it's a buffet.
Yeah, 100%.
Only when it suits us, we must say, okay, that,
yeah.
I want to judge you using this. I want to judge you using that.
Exactly.
But generally, if they look in the mirror, they're looking at exactly what they're complaining about. It's wild.
I mean, I have these deep conversations about xenophobia, which I love to have those conversations. I'm a Pan-Africanist. I don't believe in... They'll go there, you know? But I debate with a lot of people from different parts of life about, explain. And I challenge them. I say, I don't think you're xenophobic. I think you're Afrophobic.
Sure.
But when I get into those conversations, I never shut down their opinion. Like, I'm so open to sharing. Okay, but why?
Yeah.
I've spoken with racists. I've spoken with everybody. And I don't shut down the race. I'm like, no, I actually want to hear why you think that.
Yes, sir.
And I found that has done a lot more good for both of us on the side than shutting down an opinion. So,
I remember when we were due to interview Drikus.
Yeah.
After his winning the belt the first time, before the defense against Izzy.
Mm.
And people are saying, you're interviewing a racist. Hey, I had respect for you.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, dude, I will defend with my life his right to his opinion.
Of course.
I would rather expose him to my opinion on my platform than shut down his opinion. Yeah. So that both opinions are in the sun and hopefully I can help him maybe reconsider how he views things. You know what I mean? Because he was talking about, for instance, I think he also at some stage was quoted talking about a white genocide.
Yes.
And I impressed it upon him in this studio that I don't think we have a white genocide. We have a violence problem in this country.
100%.
And anyone that is a sitting duck will fall victim. And sadly, farmers are sitting ducks.
Because
you're out there alone.
Yeah.
Any man walking alone at night is also a sitting duck.
Yeah, 100%.
And in the bigger scheme of things, we can be PC all we want. And I understand we do have a GBV problem.
Yeah.
But at the hands of men, more men are victims.
1,000%. I can't agree with
you. More men are victims of violent men than women and children. But we will never be allowed
to articulate that, because then people are going to say, so you're saying GBV doesn't exist. And that's not what you said. That's not what you said.
Yeah.
All you're saying is statistically, men generally will be under more siege than all other parts of the community.
Yeah. I mean, even with Drikus's point about a white genocide,
yeah.
I mean, he can say what he wants to say, but the biggest victims of crimes are black people.
Yeah.
That just from a numerical number, you can't even fight it.
And that is why I was keen to have him in studio.
Yeah.
So I can make him see how I see it.
Mm.
That statistically, you can never argue a white genocide.
No.
Because I could argue there's a black male genocide.
100%.
Because statistically, there's more of us being killed by other men than any other part of the society. Yeah. But anyway so I'm glad we agree that don't shut down opinions you don't agree with. Rather, show them the other side.
Yeah. I also think we do this weird thing it doesn't matter which background you come from, where we adopt other people's problems like they're our problems.
Yeah.
Like other countries. So
I call it the George Bezos thing. We'll have to judge George Bezos. Where you want to fight other people's fights, but they're not even aware that there's a proxy lawyer here for me. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so it goes with like the matters of LGBT like problems as well, and trans. I see so many people saying anti-trans statements, anti-LGBT. Meanwhile, our trans community here and LGBT aren't acting in similar methods as the other people around the world.
Sure.
We don't have an issue of people identifying as trans walking into girls' bathrooms or whatever like that.
Yes.
We don't have that issue. We get along with LGBT. We legalized same-sex marriage before America even whispered the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we take that fight and bring it here and publicize it like we're fighting. But then I'm like, I'm chilling with people of this community and we're not have issues. I'm like, but where are we fighting?
Exactly. Because in the bigger scheme of things, you don't have South African school kids saying, now I identify as a girl, therefore treat me like a girl. We're not dealing with any of that.
No.
America is.
Yeah. Not to say people aren't going through that. Not to say there isn't a form of discrimination and etc. But I think that we're finding and have found healthier ways of having those communications. I think we live in a much safer space. I remember one of my friends who came from England who's LGBT. He's like, what are the gay safe spaces that we can go to? I was like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Just go.
Like generally just live
just
your life.
Just go. You'll be fine. No one's going to bother you. No one cares.
Absolutely.
Look, don't like catfish somebody, but I think otherwise you'll be fine. And I think that was a strange conversation. It's like, no, but I heard this. I'm like, I'm not saying there aren't those kind of corrective, sexual assaults and etc.
Yeah.
But generally, you can pretty much even go to a tavern as a member of the LGBT community. You'll be fine, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
So I think we should be careful not to take the problems of the rest of the world and treat them like ours. We have South African issues. We need to deal with it in an African sense.
Absolutely. How's your week been? I mean, this is wow, what a week.
Oh, wow.
What about this week? How do you say wow, what a week so far?
Oof. It's been a tough week for me. I think what happened is I had taken on too many projects, too many things, and I had run myself thin. And now I was hurting the quality of all those products because I'd taken on so much.
And you know, that's a danger that often befalls us in our industry.
Mm.
But because gigs also, they're like seasonal.
Exactly.
So when you get 100, you want to see if you can do all 100.
Yeah.
Before you realize it, you're spreading yourself so thin, 50 might kick ass, the other 50 will pass, but would it be your best work?
So that's been the challenge.
Yeah.
And being humble enough to say, listen, one is I mustn't come from a lack mentality, which is the hardest thing, is to not function from lack mentality.
Yeah.
Even when you have an abundance of opportunity, don't be afraid. They're not going anywhere. You know, take the things you can.
Fear of scarcity.
Fear of scarcity is dangerous.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I've had a beautiful interaction with my daughter and my wife. And she, I've just had
What's your daughter's name? How old is she now?
Zazie. She's like 10 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's incredible with my partner, Bogang Pilane. Yeah. So she's been a great joy, and being a new father has been one of the greatest experiences of my life. I think also having my first kid in my mid-30s is such a different journey. I'm very calm. I'm very relaxed. Mm. And I'm not thinking from scarcity.
Did you want a girl?
I did want a girl.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this.
Oh, so you closed your eyes.
I closed it.
I didn't even I'm closing my eyes.
Okay, right this now. One. Like, I want a son. No. I closed my eyes. No, fast. I didn't play. And I don't close it. Like, I'm playing.
Yeah.
I wanted a daughter. And I'll tell you why. And I picked it up later on.
Yeah.
It's because I felt like I would be more freely affectionate with my daughter than I could probably be right now with a son.
Ah.
And that also, I wanted my son to have an older sister.
Oh, yes.
And I think that's an important thing, which I didn't have. I had a great older brother, Ondile Klaba. He's an icon to me. He's a hero.
Yeah.
But I also think navigating the world, it's nice to have someone who's inside the game. Yes. I don't know, you know, and have an older perspective. And I think, you know, I'm not saying this to be like, hey, but I find women carry knowledge better than us. They carry the family knowledge. And, you know, as you see it in the Jewish tradition is that the women are the custodian of the religion, of the gene. So it's true in actuality. So, so I just wanted a daughter to be able to pass on the knowledge, to be able to take care of a young man and bring him into the world. Yeah, so I'm very happy I got one.
What was it about Bokang that said you? What is it about you that you humbly believe it was about you that she said, yes, I agree?
Our first interaction, she gave me the weirdest look. She was like, ew.
Yeah.
I opened the door. We were doing a production together, and I opened the door for her, which I do for a lot of people. I got out the car to open the door for her, which I always do.
Sure.
I tried to do for ladies, and then she looked at me like, and then you?
Yeah.
Which one is this one?
We are raised right, Bokang. That's what we do. We are raised right.
Like, what's your issue? Anyway, so as we traveled and we just stuck together, we were doing a production together. She was poorly treated on that production, and so was I. Mm. And we kind of bonded in trauma. The trauma bonding.
So is it true then that a lot of so-called on-screen romances actually don't happen from the on-screen interactions, but from the off-screen interactions?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that.
A shared trauma.
Yeah,
having lunch together every day.
Yeah.
Having horrible coffee every day.
Let's stop calling. You know, a lot of people will be like, you know, you actors, I don't trust the actor because you're going to fall in love. Hey, brother, you can go to a corporate space. The people have got work husbands and work wives. And,
exactly. And they call them that.
Yeah. We don't do that on set, you know. But I think the truth of the matter is you spend more time at work than you do at home. Absolutely. Whether or not we want to admit that is the truth.
Mm.
You're going to bond with your friends maybe at work differently with how you do with the guys you drink with at night.
Yeah.
And I think that happens a lot where you bond now. Go say, let's go have a drink, especially with our industry. We go to Durban and it's just all of us. We're away from our families and wives. Sure. There's a lot of bonding there. That being said, I wouldn't say it's as a pandemic the way people act like it is. Mm. No. But, you know, entertainment, arts, doctors. If you guys want to worry about people who, I've done a lot of research on this, who have extramarital affairs. Look at the medical industry. And you have to think about it. They work at night. They even have beds there. There's a lot of time to trauma bond there. Yeah. So,
And they walk in Crocs the whole day.
Come on now.
If you find someone in Crocs the whole day attractive, they're attractive. Anyone over that can pull Crocs off.
It's over for you.
They can
get over. It's over. Yeah, but getting back to Bokang, I think the one moment I really know she was the one, she said something to me which became my religion.
Sure.
I identify somewhat as an atheist, but an agnostic. I'm complicated. I believe in my traditional cultures, but I was always struggling to find religion.
Sure.
And she said a sentence, which is from the Wiccans, which are white people who call witches or people who call witches. They're actually just naturists. But the Wiccans said this sentence, and this is from Bokang. She said, if it harms none, do as you will.
Sure.
And that just became like, that's religion.
Sure.
Like, I can actually do anything I want as long as I'm not hurting anybody or myself. Yes. So Nana at myself.
Mm.
And then getting that information from her, I was like, wow, I have a way of living from this person.
Yes.
She's a bit rock and roll. She's a bit tough and sometimes a bit soft and she's a bit harsher with life. So I needed that balance. She's a smart, powerful, talented lady. And yeah, man, and she stuck with me. Dude, I mean, I wouldn't have a company now. I think I was broke. Lost all the money, we lost everything. I didn't have anything because I did a production. Anyway, she went back home with me and stayed with me in my mom's back room for a year. And this was after collusion. This is after all this stuff like that.
Wow.
She didn't flinch. She didn't do nothing. She was like, oh, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, and
There's something about backroom love that you can't explain.
At that time.
I always say, until you have even shagged in a mkuku.
You don't know love.
At the height of summer.
You don't know stuff.
And there's no ceiling. So it's just lesenke, the sun, and your peskins. Until you've loved like that, guys.
That's not real love.
You don't know love.
That's not real love. So just looking at her, and then in that period of time when we were there, and I felt...
How did the conversation go that I'm going back home?
It wasn't even a conversation.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey, we might need to go back to my mom's house. You know, she's like, let's go.
Was it an immediate conversation or did you postpone having it? Because sometimes uncomfortable conversations, you will say, okay, I want to tell her today. Before you know it, the day has passed because you haven't found a gap. Or are you that guy that if I feel it now, I'm going to tell it now?
You know, I think, and also it's probably why I knew she was the one. Yeah. Her and I don't have like an, like, if we're mad with each other, we just say it outright.
Sure.
Like, we don't really, I don't have to hide things. I don't feel the need to hide things from her.
Mm.
So she knows my finances. She knows everything. She's aware. So I'm just like, hey, dude, hey, yeah, this is the last month we have, and I don't know what's going on. She's like, okay, what do you think we should do? I'm thinking about this. Okay, out of I. That's it.
That was it. How did you not propose immediately at that moment?
I don't have money.
Oh,
shit. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's fine.
You can
have a proposal at KFC and then the whole country
I should have get involved. Nah, she a ride or die, bro. And without even trying. I think firstly, she's my companion before she was my lover.
Yes, sir.
I think I can be, even when the love wanes, which no one talks about, right? Yeah. I've been with her for 8 years. Love is not always there consistently.
It's not, you know.
In fact, after the first 3 years, it's like, okay. But I knew I had a best friend.
That days, yes, I love you.
Yes.
But I don't like you right now. Yeah.
And that, you know, that happens a lot.
It even happens with your own kids, bro.
Yep.
Let me just warn you. It happens with your kids.
I'm going to find out.
That I love my kids, but right now I don't like them. Yeah.
And there's sometimes where I don't feel that spark or she doesn't feel that spark.
Sure.
And then it comes back next week and then whatever. But when that's not there, I have a best friend.
Absolutely.
And I knew, and I'm like, oh, I can hang with this person for a while and I can do this for the rest of my life. Then I was like, okay, then I'm good. Yeah.
As briefly as possible.
Okay.
What is it about you think she saw?
Jeez, I have no idea.
In your most humble possible
way. You don't have to ask me to be humble. Can I be honest with you, bro? Like, I don't, sometimes outside of just Bokang, I've been with some incredible women. Mm. I still don't know how or why.
Yeah.
Not to say I'm downplaying myself. Like, I can be honest in saying, maybe I'm not the prettiest boy or whatever. I don't have money. I don't have, I'm not rich. I don't have like things in a high level.
Sure.
I know that about myself. I'm hoping is that we're connecting as friends.
Yes, sir.
I'm hoping, but I don't know how. Mm. I have no idea, man. Mm. I'll lie to you.
The religion that you say you live by.
Sure.
Is what I have said and felt for years.
Wow.
That I don't care what you do. Yeah. But the way I phrase it is, as long as you're not hurting children, animals, women, and other human beings,
agreed.
Do what the hell you want.
Agreed.
As long as you're not breaking the law, do what the hell you want.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And why should your actions even bother me? Why should it affect me?
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. You know, I want to bring it back to the LGBT thing.
Yeah.
Whenever people are homophobic, I'm like, are you fucking them?
How does it bother you?
I'm just like,
unless someone came and said, hi.
Hi, yeah. I'm like, what? Hey. I'm like, what's that got to do with you? You know? Well, the day I became atheist, I actually went to the pastor. So I was raised Roman Catholic, even though I'm actually technically Jewish. Long story, we'll get into that.
Okay, I'm also Roman Catholic, but in the carry on. Yeah.
So I remember going to the pastor and I asked them two questions. I was like, where does God come from? And he said to me, we don't ask those questions. Red flag number one. I was like, I don't ask questions. And then number two is when they're speaking about like how, gay people are going to hell. God, man. My cousin Mugeti is clearly gay.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful people I know. Lovely, kind. And I'm just like, so wait, this person is a good person. And just because of this thing, now they are not going to. I was like, screw your religion. Take it. Keep it. It's yours. And I thought to myself, Uti, I don't understand. The person is good.
Yes.
Regardless of whether you agree with their lifestyle, I don't understand what you can up with.
Do you know that that is why I was kicked out of Sunday school?
Wow.
In primary school.
Wow.
Because we were raised very, if you're a heathen or
Muhaitan,
you're going to hell. And in my school, I had friends who were Muslim. I had Hindu friends. Mm. So for me, it didn't make sense that you are telling me that my friends that I know are good people going to hell.
Like, for what?
So it didn't make sense. And I was told I was a troublemaker.
They love that term.
That I speak too much. Yeah, I asked too much. I was literally asked not to come back to Sunday school.
Same. That's crazy.
That is the wildest shit ever.
Sunday school dropouts.
Dude, I didn't even get to finish my catechism. Nothing.
Let them keep it. Hey, I was about to say something, but let me leave the Roman Catholics. They got their own issues to resolve.
No, I think we all have issues. And a lot of them can be fixed with one thing, just love.
100%.
Love and judging not. Full stop.
Yeah. Joel Osteen, I'm not religious at all, but I listen to motivational stuff when I gym. And he's got this great story, which I'll be quick about it. Yeah. He talks about this woman who's looking through the window and sees the neighbors washing.
Sure.
And she complains to her husband every day how dirty it is. And then one day the husband comes back like, baby, have you ever decided to clean the windows?
Yes.
Because they're dirty.
Yes.
And the washing is clean. Yes. And then I realized, like, that's such a great story of just, like, clean your windows before you look out to the neighbor.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think just love yourself. Focus on your own things. You don't have to worry about other people's stuff. Yeah. Love is the number one thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You were raised Jewish, you said. Or you are Jewish.
Well, technically I'm not. So my father, Kimushabi, were Lemba people. So the Lemba are from Yemen. They traveled through the continent. Julius Malemba, Kimushabi. Yeah, so we're Jewish.
Also in the bigger scheme of things, in terms of lineage. And
So my father, the only reason I wouldn't identify as a Jewish person myself is that my mother would also have to be.
Yes, factored in.
Yeah, she'd have to be Jewish as well, which she's not. She's from KZN. She's Umzulu. Yeah, so I found that out much later in my life. I actually found it out as I was doing movies. Mm. I was sitting with this very affluent black family and I was like, oh, Rameh, but black Jews. Mm. And I laughed. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And then I just checked with my dad and he was just like, yeah, you know, you're black Jews, we're black Jewish. And then I found this rich culture and then the Lemba Society has reached out since. So I represent that side of me, myself pretty
well. That is so dope.
Yeah.
Why is history important in storytelling, in movies? And you've been a part of two epic, if not three, productions inspired by historical events.
Yeah.
Why is that important? Why are those stories so important to tell?
You know, I think we think that art is a luxury.
Yeah.
I think it was Churchill. They asked him during the war, World War II, they said to him, we need to cut the arts and culture budget to fund the war.
Yeah.
Then he rebutted, like, then what are we fighting for?
Exactly.
And I realized...
Arts and culture is part of that freedom.
It's not just that. Like, arts and culture is what preserves our history.
Yes.
A thousand years from now, it will not be academic writings that they'll be able to interpret. An alien will see a piece of art to know how we were living.
Exactly.
They will not be able to read the words in our specific language. Mm. They'll hear music and get a feel of, oh, these people feel like this. So art captures the story of a people. And I think the biggest problem with us is that, one is there was an intentional drive to remove our history and our connection to ourselves.
Yes.
For example, I'm going to say this controversially. We tie ourselves to my location.
Sure.
You know, like we're from Kokasi, and if you're not black, if you're not from Kokasi, whatever. But if we look at history, the locations are concentration camps.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's what they are.
I've often argued that Kasi was not meant to be a happy place.
No, it's not.
So don't judge people who want to get out.
And that's why I don't tell, sorry to say this, Kasi stories.
You don't romanticize it.
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't romanticize poverty porn. I don't romanticize this. If you're telling me about Ikuthi Siphume Elaleni or something like that, you know, I can respect the village life because for me, a village person is way wealthier than somebody. Yeah. It's not even a comparable.
Yeah.
You know, someone who can do subsistence farming is much wealthier. Mm-hmm. And in my films and et cetera, I either show black affluence in terms of a modern society or black affluence regarding our traditional values.
Sure.
And I try to remember, you know, just to preach the message, which is there's a reason why a lot of negative things happen in Kokasi. Sure. They were designed to be like that.
It's not meant to be a nice place.
No, it was designed that. So a little bit, if you know your history, though, you'll understand that. Mm. If you know your history, you know it'd be impossible to hate on someone like Chidima if you know your history, right? If you know who we are, if you know how these lines were actually drawn, it's impossible for you to hate Chidima and then honor a woman with a French name as a representative of you as a South African. But because we don't have that, xenophobia exists because we don't understand who we are. Mm. A lot of violence against women exists because we don't know who we are. I did a comic book now called Imbogoto, which celebrates African warrior queens and turned them into superheroes. People keep saying that Africa is this patriarchal society. I searched for warrior queens.
We were led by women. In fact, even in, like, for instance, Sipedi, Venda,
perfect example.
The matriarch is the pinnacle of that society.
I'd argue even in your own family life. If you were to think, who's the head of your household? And then meanwhile, I've been told, no, man, we're patriarchal. But again, we don't know who we are. So if I don't capture those elements in history, if I don't do a Kalushi, I can't make a narrative against or the political party that was running the country at the time. I'm like, hey, these people died for this thing that you are now driving in Mercedes Benz.
Yes.
So my protest and my propaganda is my art.
Absolutely.
You know? So, yeah.
I've told the story before, just talking about Cassie, for instance, that we often talk about how black people are like crabs in a bucket, always pulling each other down.
Remove the bucket.
And I was going to say, and my opinion on that, because that was my general feeling also, that we like using crabs in a bucket as an example. And my opinion changed when someone said, you need to remember that crabs don't exist in buckets.
That's it, man.
And for as long as black people are forced to live in certain environments, of course you will want to survive by any means necessary. But if all things are equal, opportunities are equal, access to, you know, Medicare, access to healthcare, education, if everything is equalized, then there's no bucket.
Yeah.
Then there's no crab to pull down.
100%.
Then we all move.
Yeah. All of a sudden, people have asaloyani, no. You're like, oh, because there's space. Hey, ban man next door, yang tagata. I'm like, yo, what if that person was living all the way that side? Yeah. You wouldn't even know about that.
And what if you're being tagatized by the third neighbor, but because you sleep so close, you picked up a stray?
Yeah, I vicarious tagging. No, I love that analogy you're talking about with the bucket. It's such a powerful term. I'm sorry, I keep hopping on about this. I think it's especially.
That's why you're here, dude. I'm here for your mind. So.
Yeah. You know, I used to, in one of my conversations about xenophobia, when I speak to the guys, you know, that I help out maybe with, and I said to them, okay, you guys, you don't want these foreign nationals here. Mind you, my phone is broken. Can any one of you fix my phone now? I asked them, no, who's going to fix my phone? Okay, if I want you to go fix my phone, where are you going to go? I'm a Pakistani. I don't want to use that term, but yeah. And I said to them, okay, you know what I did?
Yeah.
I went to those guys and asked them, what did you learn to fix phones?
Yeah.
And most of them, they all told me easy, like on YouTube. And I'm like, okay, TikTok. Why don't you just Google how to fix this phone? And you know what? I fix my own phones now, and I just use YouTube.
Yeah.
And I just buy the parts.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, maybe you can learn from those societies. Maybe you can learn from these guys who take the spazas, come together as families, buy stock at bulk. Why aren't we doing that as Botswana?
Why are we not collaborating?
Yeah.
It's almost like collaboration is a dirty word.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather compete with you. And shgubonte, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then say to you, I see that you're doing this that works. I'm doing that.
Yeah, can I
How
see?
Can we...
Yeah, which one can we connect? Which is why I think, and I'll wrap up with this. I think a political party was talking about a borderless Africa. I had an idea. Yeah. I think they didn't articulate it one well. And didn't understand that that still take a lot of time and changes across to be able to implement that. But the idea is positive. We need to be able to interact with all of each other from across the continent. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
One African... Budget limitless.
Yeah.
Who are you making a movie about?
Budget limitless? Oh, okay. Hannibal of Carthage.
Yes, sir.
100%. Hannibal of Carthage is a Tunisian prince who, during the Roman Empire, at their height, at their pinnacle, he left his country and went to Rome with an army and defeated them twice.
You know, one of my quotes I've lived by since I was 13.
Yeah.
We shall find a way or make one. Yeah, that's Hannibal.
That's Hannibal.
No, carry on.
Ah, Hannibal. Yeah. And I love what you say, you make one. Because Hannibal did this. He took elephants. People talk about the fact that he took elephants with him and walked elephants into Rome.
Yeah.
But they don't know that he walked through these mountains that everyone said were not walkable.
Yes.
He collected defeated tribes that were all defeated, that had a gripe against Rome.
Yes.
And built an army of just angry people. He made a way and defeated them twice.
Can you imagine how epic that movie would be?
Man. That's the role of my life. That's the dream. This guy, like, let's go.
I've literally got goosebumps.
Yeah, Hannibal.
I've got goosebumps.
Hannibal.
Just the aerial shot of, okay, guys, Rome is a day away.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
So it would be
who would the lead be?
Me. 100%. Nah, straight up.
I love it.
That I never put myself in roles, and I've heard this talk too about Denzel, and I know that the Tunisians are saying that, no, he must be an Arab-looking guy. We'll debate that later. Me.
Yeah.
That's the role. That if you ask me which role I want to play, it would be Hannibal.
What would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned from that story you'd be telling about Hannibal?
Wow. Wow. You kind of said it right now, but nothing is impossible.
Yeah.
That's as simple, like nothing's impossible. And that's kind of my life story right now.
Yeah.
You know, I've been able to get a relationship with like HBO. I've been able to publish a comic book that's about to be a movie and a series.
Yeah.
And I did that from the back room of my mother's house with my partner next to me, inspired by her.
Dude, you And Bokang's love story is a fucking movie. True story, bro. Now, true story.
Yeah. Now, probably. So.
And you can even play yourselves.
Maybe we don't have to act. No, maybe we should.
Just relive it.
Yeah. I think also, and we need to find ourselves as not just black men, like the family unit. I know it's not always possible to keep it together.
Sure.
If we can keep the family unit, I've seen the most successful cultures, religions, the Jews, Muslims, they try to keep the family units together as much as possible.
You know, that's what a Jewish friend of mine said.
Right.
A Jewish friend of mine said, I've got nothing against women's lib.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing against feminism.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the African culture is under siege because of that.
Mm.
And that because you guys are not steeped in your religion the way we are, the way Muslims are, your family units are under more attack than ours.
Yeah, 100%.
So now you are fighting those attacks versus fixing the family unit and then also going out to provide.
Yeah.
Whereas because of our religion,
just got to go provide.
We know what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And that is why more often than not, our family units are solid. Mm. That was what a Jewish friend of mine said.
I'll challenge him just with one perspective on that. I don't think it's, I think our feminism in African context is reactionary.
Sure.
And I'll tell you why. And I know we're running a little bit out of time here, but for me, it was that idea, again, going back to the bucket.
Yeah.
The moment they took our fathers out of our households to go work at the mines,
yes.
and the woman had to now provide,
yes.
the woman now had to be more than just, had to be the father.
Yes.
That sparked what we sometimes define as a version of feminism, which
yes.
I think that's what happened, yes. right? And yes. I don't think it was, they were forced to be everything.
Mm. Mm.
And now they're like, and then the father is now creating another family
exactly.
in another place. Mm. So I think the fractioning happened purely through capitalism.
Mm.
And that's where the black family got destroyed, and any version of either hyper-masculinity or hyper-femininity, even its distorted forms, come from that little moment. The moment, because the Jews, the Jewish people and the Muslims, they've never had their father figures pulled out
absolutely.
Of their homes. Mm. Like that's a huge trickle-on effect. Yeah. So I think,
absolutely. Mm. I love the way you're thinking.
Yeah, where?
Imbokodo.
Yes.
Tell us about that quickly.
I'll be quick. So Imbokodo is a comic book that we have done with Dark Horse Comics and another Oscar-winning actress who's come on board to produce the show. Dark Horse is like the third biggest comic book house in the world.
Yes, sir.
We own the IP,
that is dope.
Which is really powerful along with my business.
So billionaire loading.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But it will hopefully go on to benefit the cultures of which stories we're telling.
Yes.
It's based on these African women. It's Nandi from KwaZulu, Mojaji from the Balubedu. It's Amina from Nigeria. It's... it's Nzinga from Angola, Linga from the Congo. We've taken all these incredible African queens,
yes.
made them into superheroes.
That is so dope.
Put them in a story that's almost like True Detective. And we're going to have a spin-off.
I've got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Tell me, don't
So we did this comic book along with Katleho Mtaung, who's the artist. It's completely South African. I wrote it along with my partner. It's inspired by Bokang and the incredible women that I grew up with.
Yes, sir.
It's an homage to black women. It's an homage to African history.
Yes,
there's Mutapa. We speak about the Mutapa Empire. It happens within the Mutapa Empire. We were all under one empire. Whether you're from Mozambique or Zimbabwe, we all used to serve under one emperor, by the way.
Yes,
but
sir.
Anyway. The story is a beautiful story about how young girls go missing in these villages.
Mm.
And these seven women need to go find out what's happened to them.
That is so dope.
And the deal's amazing.
That's an epic movie.
It will be soon. It will be soon. It will be soon.
So I've got a African map.
I've seen it with all these great
on my backs. My favorite African leaders, Nzinga is in there. Queen Nzinga.
Oh wow. Powerful.
Queen Nzinga is in there.
Powerful.
Because for me, those are one of the many stories that we don't tell enough.
No.
That our kids are not hearing enough of these stories in school.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Yes, we can teach our kids about the United Nations and the League of Nations and World War I and World War II, but there's so many African stories that our kids are not hearing.
Yeah.
That remind them who the hell they are.
Yeah.
That we are from great people and great empires.
Yeah, 100%.
But we don't tell those stories.
No. And that's why they defeat us.
It's bullshit.
That's why they divide us. Because if they were to tell us that we've worked together, we are kings and queens, it'll be hard for any man to raise his hand to a woman knowing that an Nzinga is in there.
Dude.
And Mujaji is in there.
Dude.
Knowing that the only two people that Shaka has ever bowed to are Mantatisi from Lesotho and Mujaji from the Rain Queen. And truly said those. And people forget that Shaka was trained to fight by a black mother.
Yes.
He was an ultimate feminist.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so if we just knew our history better, we'd be a lot of social norms would be sorted. Yeah.
In fact, when I heard that Shaka Ilembe 2 is coming,
yeah,
I was, you know, I spoke about how I hope they will include the Basotho link.
They have to.
Because there's the Mantatisi link, there's the King Moshoeshoe link. Yeah. It's epic. Then you can start including the Basotho, a kingdom and empire, and then you have an epic story.
Yeah. And anyone who doesn't know who Mantatisi is, please go Google.
Yeah.
Yeah, please go Google. But yeah, so please go check it out. It's out for pre-order. It's coming out soon, and there's a movie and a series coming out as well.
Yo, my dude. Yeah. Apparently, we're out of time.
Yeah. Sorry.
It kind of sucks.
Sorry.
I talk too much. Why are you...
No,
it's only 8K.
No, it's okay.
Are you? How often are you in the ring?
Oh, fighting.
Yeah.
I just lost actually. Not often enough because of busy. But I fight Muay Thai. I fight Jiu-Jitsu. Check out Gracie Barra.
Yeah.
Gracie Barra Jiu-Jitsu. Jiu-Jitsu is so good. They should teach it in schools. Check out Muay Thai. We should teach that in schools. Mm. But I fight as often as I can.
How good are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm probably a 3, but on the street, I'm a 7.
You get in there. In fact, I'm going to be the drunk uncle at Christmas. Yeah, ta, boso, baro, sha, jujitsu, ni, muay thai. So, okare, sha, really, kai.
Yeah, lo, nangal, sha, gao, fela. The moment, ota, li, li, burel, sabang, something, what, rikas, ay, get like, whoa, yeah.
Yeah. And why do you fight? Like, what does it do for you?
Firstly, I think we're very crazy to think that violence isn't a language of nature.
Sure.
Violence is a language of nature. Rather be fluent in it than not, you know? Also, if I would take any bully, anybody's got a problem with violence, I'd take them to martial arts. I promise you they won't be violent ever again. Yeah, so it's so powerful.
It's I think me and you need to actually have conversations once a month.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of things we agree on. I always say, give me someone who is fluent in violence but has self-control
100%
and knows when to literally switch it on
anytime.
I'd rather have a son like that
same.
Than a son that's going to be a pushover that can't even defend himself or his family.
I think it's crazy that women aren't taught how to fight. I think it's insane. I think everyone needs to know how to fight, how to do their taxes, how to farm. Sure. It's crazy that you don't think, like, what are you going to do when your government comes to you and says to you, now you need to know how to fight?
I would rather my daughter can break your arm in two moves than can label a thorax.
100%.
I'd rather that.
Because no matter how great the ideas are, they fall to the sword.
Yes.
That's the truth.
I'd rather my daughter can defend herself against 3 assailants, whether they're male or female, than solve for X.
Same.
Yes, you can solve for X. But can we teach our kids things that will help them live?
Yeah. You need to know
violence. Why is there no class on tax? Just taxation.
Crazy.
So that by the time you start work, you know exactly what you're walking into.
100%.
There's nothing about taxation.
How come you don't do your driving license at school?
Why?
Everyone needs to drive. That's
crazy. A lot of US and European schools have driver's ed.
You need it.
You need it.
You need to know how to do your tax. You need to know how to farm. You need to know how to... so we can't fix a tire. That shouldn't be... You shouldn't have to go Google that.
You should be able to change your own spark plug in high school.
100%.
But repeat, get the thorax.
Get the thorax. Pythagoras. Solve for X.
My dude, where do people find you if they want to support you?
I would drive everyone to the Nguniverse Studios page. There you'll find out everything about the company, about everything we're doing. We've got some great projects coming through, and you can also get our comic book in Bogotá there. So just I'll drive you there. And then check out Bogang Pilane's TikTok page. Yeah. She's doing some really great stuff there.
And because you're co-starring in some of the stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that's always. I'm always there. That's
my dude, I'm a massive fan, like I said. Your story inspires me. The work you do inspires me. And I think the way you view not only yourself, but Africans and who we are and how those stories ought to be told is one of the reasons I believe you ought to be funded and we ought to protect you because we need more people like you doing more work that you're doing. That's the only way we'll get anywhere as a people. So shout out to you, my dude.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was an honor. It's an honor to be around you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Thabo, like water, Rametsi, is about to flow on out of here.
And it's a wrap. Thank you, as always, for being a part of the magic on WOW What a Week. Hopefully you learned something and you enjoyed Fresh Money with African Bank Audacity to Believe. And, of course, our celebrity interview with one of my favorite actors, Thabo Rametsi, what an incredible talent. Coming to you from Discover TV in Four Ways, Johannesburg. Check them out. Check out the studio facility. Incredible team, incredible facility. Let them take your project and bring it to life. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have yourselves a wow week in spite of yourselves.
Cut.